And it gives us great pleasure now to say good afternoon to a man that's about to play his 150th game this week against the Kangaroos, which has been a bit of a bogey side for you, Brad Ebert.
Hey guys, how you going?
Brad, honestly, we'll go down memory lane. It just seems like yesterday when you went over to the West Coast Eagles as a fresh-faced boy to make your mark in AFL football and 150 games later.
Yeah, I know. It's I guess it goes pretty quickly when you think about it, and that's what everyone says. I remember getting to West Coast and on my first day, a couple of the boys were talking about that, how quickly it goes, and it has. You know, you think about it, and you're into your eighth year now, and hopefully there's plenty more football ahead. But, yeah, those years at West Coast definitely went quick.
Can I just ask you about that now? You've got the advantage of hindsight. Was it intimidating? I know you're very, very close to your family, your mum, Chris, and Craig, your dad, which is obvious with all kids. They're close to their parents, or should be. Was it daunting for you?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a it was an experience. You know, that's you knock on the door at a random person's house, and they become your host family for a number of years, and that's just one of the things that, you know, you're thrown into a football system where you don't know anyone, you don't know, you know, much about the state, you don't know much about the history of the club, and you quickly pick up on it all, and like I said, I think the biggest thing is it's a life lesson. It was a real good experience for myself to grow up a little bit, because I went over there and I was a young 17-year-old really. And I think that, you know, I was able to grow up in that time.
You also went to a club that had a star-studded team and success in recent times. How was that? Was that daunting? Now we know names like Cox and Kerr and Cousins and Judd, those type of players.
Yeah, it really was. That's I guess I miss Judd and miss Cousins. They left that year, and so I don't.
Good research by me, wasn't it?
No, but it was. You know, the other guys that you're talking about, and even you're throwing Wirrupunda and Braun, and they still had those older guys, Fletcher. They still had those that core from the Premiership side there, and so it was. You know, you're driving the training with Andrew Embley, and you're sitting in the car next to him thinking, oh my god, like, you know, a year ago I was watching him play, and now you're sort of lining up next to him. So it's it was good in that regards, but they didn't have too many successful years for the first couple of years I was there anyway.
You went to a club with big names, as you just said, but it also had some big drama surrounding it. Were you aware of the cultural problems there when you went in there as a young lad?
Well, I guess all you could see was from the media as a kid, you know, seeing what was going on, what was unfolding, and what was happening from that side of things, from the outside. Once I actually got into the club and saw how it was really run, and actually realised that, you know, it was only a number of players that were involved, and they were moved on pretty quickly, that, you know, you realise that the club was strong. A lot of things were put in place in the time that I was there, and so really I saw, you know, none of that in my time there.
We're live and interactive. If you'd like to bring up and have a chat to Brad, here's your opportunity, 8223 0000. If you're a little shy, you can send a text, 1 999 1395.
And, Brad, I guess it's worked out really well. Coming back to Port Adelaide, you get a chance to come home, but it's been a very good run since you come back. Both personally, your football's been outstanding, but the club's, I guess, taken that upward trend, and it looks like it's, well, certainly in the last couple of years, heading in the right direction.
Yeah, that has been exciting. You know, that's my first year here was hard. We were, you know, going through a few different things, and, you know, the Matty Primus got sacked, and Johnny Mack passed away, and all that sort of stuff happened in that first year. And so to go from there to then, you know, playing, even last week, you know, we lost the game, but you're playing in front of 50,000 people with an amazing atmosphere, an amazing energy around the ground, and to see the shift from playing at Amy Stadium with 15,000 with the sheets up to what we were doing, by the end of last year and this year, it's just it's crazy. But
Hey, we're going to get into the current situation where the club's at the moment, but we'll just concentrate on you for a little bit. Most memorable game in your 150, and for what reasons?
I guess the most memorable would have to be, you know, last year's preliminary final. I guess it is the freshest game, but it's also the highest I was able to go. You know, that's, you're always chasing the premiership, and you're always wanting to, you're wanting that success. And I guess it sits with you for, you know, the negative reasons, but then also being able to play on a big stage in a big game. I think that was probably the most memorable. That and the semi-finals and that as well.
Have you watched the last 30 seconds or so of that game and that Luke Hodge smother?
Yeah, I've watched it over in my head a number of times. Yeah, it's played out, but yeah, it was just a big yeah, that whole 30 seconds was hard to take, but it was just
how they paid a free kick against Tommy Jonah. Seriously, that was ridiculous when the ball was dragged under him by Stratton. It was just, umpires shouldn't make decisions in that stage of a game. Toughest opponent.
I'd say toughest opponent was Chris Judd. I remember having a run around with him as a kid when he was flying, and that was always that's always a tough opponent. And then the way that he's just able to play the game, I think he's been one. And even in recent times, I reckon Nat Fyfe over the last 2 years has really stepped up his game to the point where it's hard to match up on because he's so strong around contest, but then he's also so good in the air and reads the game really well. So he's another one that's really progressing.
And last personal one from me, your closest friend in footy.
Closest friend in football. Well, lately it's been Matty Lobe, Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, you chop and change, dude.
No. Well, all the boys.
That's we have a pretty fickle, Brad.
We have a good bunch of blokes at the club. Kane Mitchell. They're all a really good bunch of guys. So, to leave them out is a bit hard. But those three are three that really stand out for sure.
And he's enjoyed an unbelievable rise, Matty Lobe, hasn't he? So it's been, I guess, would have been pleasurable for you watching him because he did take a lot of time to announce himself. It was 5 or 6 years, but since he's come into the side. Now he's one of your leaders. That's been an extraordinary rise for him.
Yeah, it has been. And even off the field, to see just how much he's developed, that's he's really taken on that vice captaincy well and sees the game really well and really loves to study it and understand it all. And actually, when he's on the field, you can see that he's real thorough in the way that he knows exactly what's got to happen and he knows how to get it done.
And so where's he at? He's out running today. We're led to believe he didn't participate in the full session. Is he some chance this week still?
Yeah, he's a chance. Yeah, definitely. They're never writing him off. I guess, going into round one, they thought he was a chance. So this week, he's progressing well. Whether he's 100% fit to play, we'll just have to wait and see.
What about Jarman Impey? Earlier in the week, we know he hurt himself on the weekend. Mm. Has there been any update on that? Has he had a scan or something that just gives you a bit more clarity on how long that might be?
I think he's had the scan, but I'm not 100% sure how long it'll be. Yeah, I haven't actually heard how many weeks or anything like that. But I think it's... yeah, there's a fair chance that he won't be playing this week.
Mm. And who's someone that's likely to come in? There's a couple of names on, Cam O'Shea, crack. A lot of people are talking about him and his form. Aaron Young, who is the person that you're thinking is on the edge, knocking the door down?
Yeah, I think you probably brought up the three there that are really in the hunt. I guess Cam O'Shea, Tom Cleary, Nathan Cracker would probably fill that role pretty well. The role that Jarman plays, Youngie around the midfield is developing well, and I think that he's the next one that through the midfield will definitely come in. And play some footy.
Talking to Timmy Jennifer on Saturday night after the loss when Sydney were really good, we'll have a chat about that shortly. Mm. We know that every club has a bit of a whipping boy and yours tends to be Jasper Pittard.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Well, the point is he probably takes the game on more than anyone, so there's more chance that something will go wrong. But I also, he said if it was to be any of the players, it's best that it's him because he's so up, it doesn't seem to affect him. Mm. But I asked how Johnny Butcher was because I think most of the football world want him to do well. Mm. And he received his opportunity against the Dockers and it didn't go his way. I believe he bounced back okay in the State League on the weekend.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he came out and kicked 4 or 5 goals and I think he really just looked... looked ominous, like he was crashing packs and he was doing the things that they want from John Butcher, that's when you see him steaming into packs and being able to crash them and then also the second, third efforts, that he's up and about. And so I think that form-wise, he's been really strong all pre-season and he'll get his chance again.
Yeah, but as a person, I believe, because we see him out there with the long hair and the beard and whatever, and you think he's the wild man from Borneo, but I believe he's fairly insular and he's a quieter type of person.
Yeah, around the club he is, and that's one-on-one, he's a great bloke to have a chat with and he's a really good guy. But then he's not the guy that's going to be yelling out and yelling and screaming and doing all that sort of stuff. He's more sort of, a quieter type.
What about the coach this week? Generally, after a one loss, they normally pretty amicable. After two, they start to get a little bit terse. How's Ken been this week?
Yeah, he's been okay. Yeah, okay. That's probably the best way I can put it, really. He's been okay. He really made sure that he ticked off the boxes and went through the game thoroughly and made sure that we reviewed it properly. But then he's moving on and he's been able to do that really well, I guess. That's one thing with Ken, he's honest and he's up front and he'll tell you how it is. But then he can move on and get ready for the next game very quickly.
Hey, Brad, we just teased the fact that you've got an awful record against the Kangaroos and you've been a part of it, you've experienced it. You've met on 29 occasions, you've lost 21 of those games and you've lost 5 of the last 6, but the last 3 have been contested by a combined total of 19 points. But in anyone's language, it's a pretty ordinary record. Can you put your finger on it?
No, I can't really. No, there's no real reason, I guess. It's just yeah, it's a funny one where over the last couple of years we've been quite strong. They've also been quite competitive, and last year they were able to knock us off by less than a goal, I think it was. And like we were talking about just before, the one I do remember about winning was that one against at Amy Stadium with Paul Stewart kicking that late goal. So
that was Rowie's famous call. We might even be able to find that. Get the numbers back. Get the numbers
back.
Well,
I think they kicked four goals in the last
couple of
minutes.
It was an amazing finish. Yeah.
Hey, interestingly, just talking about the weekend's game in particular, a lot of talk about you had 62 entries but only could kick six goals, which is a bit of an issue, I guess. And a lot of that is because they got so many numbers behind the play. I was just having a look at that, and there's a couple of reasons why sometimes that happens. One is if you're not creating those quality turnovers, it just gives them time to get back, or if you're not winning the ball from clearance, sometimes it just gives them time to get back. Have you been able to put your finger on what it is that you haven't been doing well enough?
I think those two are definitely a couple of reasons. I think the other one is just our ball movement was probably a little bit slow on the weekend, mm-hmm. and we were getting repeat entries, but we just were bombing it straight back to the numbers, and then they were able to sort of clog it up again. And they are a real strong defensive side, yeah. So as soon as you start kicking into the out number, they'll be able to utilise that and run off it.
Well, Arthur's given us a call on 8223 0000. We're live and interactive. Arthur, you can have a chat to Brad about the Sydney match.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good, mate.
Hi, Arthur.
Bix, you stole my thunder a little bit there.
Okay.
So from an outsider point of view, we brought in Redden. He wasn't match fit. And we were losing the tap out around, or losing the clearances. And for some reason, Sydney had three players clear on their side and we were clear on our side. But because we were losing the tap out, they were just able to clear it really easy. I just don't know why there wasn't the matchups going man on one. Like McVay was always free. We weren't able to create enough forward pressure. That's just from my point of view.
Yeah, well, that's I guess the thing around stoppages, we're always trying to change it up and try different things, and so we did go man on man for a fair while. The wingers even went to their man to try and really stem the flow. But then, yeah, obviously there's times where, like you're saying, that it almost looks like there's just three on one side, three on the other, which we're not really wanting, and it was just the way that it panned out. But yeah, definitely as a team, we're really not looking for that sort of setup.
Thanks for your call, Arthur. 8223 0000. Bit of talk about you boys being a little fatigued, and we've had, whether it's mischievous innuendo or rumour, we've got stories of in Perth with Tommy Jonas just kicking on his left. Mm-hmm. Another player, who was it, Bix?
Hamish
Hartlett, doesn't seem to be running as freely. And we see Travis Boak, one of your stars at the moment. I know he's getting a lot of attention, but Craig Bird shut him down. It was like two kicks, 18 handballs, mm-hmm. and metres gained was about 2 metres per touch. Is everyone physically okay? There's talk that there's stress injuries and you've been worked a little bit too hard over the summer.
No, we haven't been worked too hard. I think that they probably just haven't been coming into Physio Extra and doing their Pilates. I had to throw that one in there, didn't I?
Now, Physio nice. Extra, of course, is on Perry Street, and your fiancée, Beck,
yes.
That's her business.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I've thrown that in now, but so we'll get back to the main stuff. Yeah, I think with that is, I don't think we're really underdone. I think Boakey's just, he's working through that tag, and we probably have to help him out as well. Hamish Hartlett and Tommy Jonas, when they put themselves out in the field, they're ready to play, and so, yeah, there's no real question about their fitness or ability.
Another text message coming through from Anthony. He said, can you ask Brad if he sees any similarities between some of the stuff that Adelaide are doing and some of Port Adelaide's game style? Because there's been a few people that have talked about, you know, obviously Walshy going across there.
Yeah, I think that Walshy coming across, going across to Crows, he'd definitely take some stuff, you know. He'd take some stuff from West Coast in the days that he was there. I know that he brought that across to Port Adelaide as well, and then has transferred that again to the Crows. So whenever a coach leaves, I remember when Alan Richardson was first coaching at St Kilda after the year that he had with us, and, you know, they're running around saying pretty similar calls to what we're actually calling, and it makes you realise that, okay, they're taking a lot of what we're doing at one club and transferring it to another club. So Walshy's definitely going to do the same, but it's just the way that, because like I said, he brought a fair bit across to us, so he's going to take it again.
We heard a number of stories in the showdown pre-season at Amy Stadium that you heard a lot of calls that the Crows were using.
It was quite funny. A couple of similar calls, but with football, I guess it's the way that it is.
We know it's a very competitive here in Adelaide between the Crows and Port Adelaide, and a lot of the Port supporters are trying to claim the Crows' success through one of their own. But in all fairness, like Kenny Hinckley has brought down some of the Gold Coast ideas, you could say, and Phil Walsh has definitely said his 5 years at the West Coast Eagles, he learnt more from Woosher. Johnny Worsfold. Forgot his first name and his last.
Even Woosher was... I saw him in the box with the Crows for a couple of weeks there, so I was still getting help from Woosh there as well.
So has it affected you at all in terms of having the right-hand man and going from Alan Richardson to Phil Walsh and now Michael Voss? And how has Michael Voss been?
Yeah, I don't think it affects us too much in a negative way. I think it can only be positive. You know, that's, a coach comes in, they bring what they can, they help you improve, and I guess then they get the opportunity to take that and get the head job. So I really think that it's a good opportunity for them. But then Vossi coming in, he's been fantastic. I think that he shows that he's been a senior coach in the past. You know, the way he portrays himself, the way he speaks in front of the group, he's really he's demanding. He reads the game really well and understands it really well, and he's been able to get that across to the playing group, and he hasn't really completely changed everything that we're doing in the midfield. He's just sort of tinkered with little things, and I think that's hopefully going to help us.
And Brad, I've heard that he gets involved and he gets very physical still.
He does, yeah. He loves getting involved, and he's still a competitive beast, so he throws himself into some contests.
Did you do that, Bix, as a forward coach? Or you would have been...
Oh, I was the midfielder.
Cast aside.
Initially, you do it until you actually realise that these blokes are actually a lot stronger. one of the best that I saw, though, was Todd Viney. Now, Todd was a very courageous player and very strong and strong-willed. And he used to get involved on the odd occasion. Now, Todd wasn't a super fit guy, but he was like a bull. And a few of the boys tried to take Todd on, and not too many won. So, look, one of the things are, generally football people are very competitive beasts, and I'm sure Vossi would be exactly that. He would hate losing. So,
yeah. Well, tell us the story then. And it came up on the Couch when Phil Walsh was interviewed about Travis Boak in Dubai last year, was it? Walshian... Boakey had a wrestle. Tell us what happened there, and it got quite serious.
Yeah, well, I think that, I guess, as the days go in Dubai, it gets, you know, pretty tedious, and you're all pretty stressed, and it's been a big week. You're living in each other's pockets, and there was nothing too malice about it. It was just purely the fact that Walshy and him came up in a competitive drill, and Walshy, for some reason, threw himself in, and then Boakey just thought he might as well keep going with it, and yeah, the wrestle just sort of unfolded from there. It was pretty humorous, really. We all sort of just sat back and,
so who
and
won?
Laughed.
Was there blood? There was blood drawn,
definitely,
wasn't it?
Definitely blood drawn. You know? No, there was no blood drawn, mate.
So, when he said, I think what happened, now this is the version I got, and I'm not sure if it's right or not, when he said, I nearly got arrested, I thought during the wrestle someone had their strides pulled down. That was maybe the story I heard, but anyway, we'll have to ask Phil next time.
You'll have to get it out of him.
You were there, Brad. What was there, a bit of dacking, was there?
I think a couple of them got dacked. I think Walshy might have got dacked, yeah. And the Red Pumas got out there.
So that's why he said, I nearly got arrested last time.
Okay.
Was on display. Yeah. Hey, Brad, one of the big things, I guess, that most sides look towards is contested footy, and Ken after the game pretty much said that as well, that our contested footy's not up to scratch. In the last 2 weeks you've lost convincingly. Is that something that you've done at training this week, just to try and heighten that focus for this week?
Yeah, I think that is. It's also something that we've been working on over the pre-season. Mm. So to lose it like that in the first 2 weeks has been really disappointing. So obviously, you know, with that, they're going to focus on it, and it does come out in training, and it wasn't that we've, you know, just gone out and just done contested ball. It does get thrown into training just like anything else, but yeah, we end up doing a bit of tackling most sessions anyway.
Brad, thank you so much for coming in live into the studio. We wish you all the best for your 150th game.
Before we go, mm-hmm. we just need to expand upon the story you were telling just off air about Rowie.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes.
We said, you asked, where is Rowie in today? You sort of looked quizzical. What happened today?
Well, I saw him down the beach this morning. Yesterday morning, walking the dog. He was sitting there with his shirt off, with the zinc on. He was,
you're kidding me.
He was looking like he was getting a bit burnt, actually.
His boss is right there. He was down the beach. You genuinely bumped into him down the beach.
I did bump into him down the beach. Yeah, he was looking fit as.
We all know when you have those chest infections, you need a little bit of salt.
A bit of vitamin D.
Yeah, perhaps. a bit of that fresh
salt.
That's
it. Always helps.
A bit of vitamin D or whatever.
Walk in the
sun
water,
gives you.
It's good for the legs.
Yeah, well, you've just lost a friend there. Hey, Brad, congratulations on your 150th coming out. We wish you all the best. Let's hope you get the 4 points, and then you can start focusing on the massive game against Hawthorn. No rest for the wicked. Brad Ebert, brought to us today and brought to you by the new Port Adelaide Football Club Visa debit card, powered by Beyond Bank, My Team, My Card, and also Becca's fiancé at Physio Extra, Pirie Street.